The following program is paid for by Sunnywald Natural Foods. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the program host, guests, and callers, and shall not be construed as those of this station, its employees, its advertisers, or sponsors.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Sundays with Sunnywald. I'm Willa from Sunnywald Natural Foods, and I'll be your host for the next half hour as we discuss some topics that are near and dear to my heart. It is my hope that you'll be encouraged and inspired to get involved, take action, and really start looking at yourself, the world around you, and the tremendous impact you can have. One of my favorite quotes is, "Never doubt that a small group of committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has." It is my goal that together we become that small group. Join us every week at 12:30 for Sundays with Sunnywald, right here on 1280 WHVR. My guest today is Gary Oppenheimer. Back in 2009, he sort of had, I'm going to say an epiphany. He might correct me, but it sort of sounds like an epiphany when I read about it. He just kind of suddenly realized that the solution to hunger, malnutrition, childhood obesity, and diabetes, as well as a host of environmental problems, including waste stream, trash dump, methane emissions, and the ever-growing carbon footprints in our communities, were at least in part solvable right in our communities. And so he created a very exciting program called AmpleHarvest.org, and he's here to tell us about it. Gary, thanks so much for joining me on Sundays with Sunnywald.
Thank you very much, and yes, it was an epiphany. It's the only one I've ever had, but it was a good one.
It's a very, very good one. So tell us about it. What happened and what resulted?
What happened is I grew up with my parents saying, finish what's on your plate. Kids are starving in Europe. I grew up aware that not everybody has food, and I grew up aware that you don't waste the food that you have. That was in the 1950s. Fast forward to the current period of time. I am a gardener. I was asked to take over a community garden in 2009. And in getting ready for that, I became increasingly aware that food in a community garden was being wasted. I said to the people, if we're going to have an ample harvest, the least we can do is get to people who really need it. And what ensued as a result of that was the realization that while everybody loved the idea, nobody knew where to find the food pantries to donate the food to. And it turned out that they were not on Google, they're not in the phone book. And that was the moment on March 9 of 2009 when I had an epiphany, and I won't say that word again, that we could use the Internet to create a program that's essentially a Google for the American food pantry system, which would have the goal of really three distinct steps: to educate, to encourage, and to enable 40 million people who grow food in home gardens, often more than they can use, to be able to donate it to a neighborhood food pantry. Basically, to create a digital bridge across America, but within the communities, so that food wouldn't get wasted, particularly locally grown healthy food, because the food pantry system in America is perfectly fine at feeding people processed food. But by and large, you cannot get fresh food in the food bank system. And there's a flaw in the way the food flows around the food bank network that really doesn't lend itself towards produce, which is the reason why, by the way, when your office, your house of worship, or your school has a food drive, they're always telling you, you know, cans, jars, and boxes, no fresh food. The system can't handle the fresh food. And I figured out that the solution was simply bridging the people in the community to the need in the community, and the Internet existed as the perfect tool to do that. It didn't hurt that I did this at the depths of the economic meltdown in 2009. People were getting desperate. People were losing jobs. The need was greater than ever. As a matter of fact, when I started this idea, we had 28,500 food pantries in America. It has since climbed to 33,500 food pantries.
Wow.
So the need is there. And frankly, the opportunity is there. And that's what AmpleHarvest.org is all about. The idea was really to empower these 40 million individuals to be the agent for change in their own community and to do it without having to spend money. Because when you've grown too many tomatoes or zucchini, and we all have, it's an excess of food. And you can certainly preserve some, and you can give it to friends, but I have personally discovered there's more, you know, there's only so many cucumbers you can give to a friend and still have them call you a friend. there reaches a point at which your plants are producing ahead of what you can use, and this is what should be going to the need in the community. And once you are bridged, once the grower knows that St. Mary's Church or the YMCA, whatever it is in their neighborhood, exists and has a pantry and eagerly wants their food, presumably they will be donating food to that pantry for the rest of their gardening life. So this is actually a permanent, sustainable change in the local food system.
Gary, I want to tell you, I don't know when I have heard of a program that excites me as much as this does.
Thank you.
I'm serious. I'm very, very moved. I was very moved when I first heard about it. I was participating with the Food Availability Task Force in York, and I was on the committee to take a look at what could be done to eliminate excess eliminate waste, and at the same time address hunger and malnourishment. And, you know, as you said, you know, some people are just not eating much at all, especially in the inner cities. And some people are eating, but the quality of what they're eating is so poor. And then here's this abundance just going to waste, all over the place. So anyhow, forgive me, but I'm so moved by this program. And I'm hoping that our listeners are going to really do everything possible in this area to help it to catch on and to grow. So I guess one of my first questions is, a lot of food pantries aren't really set up to handle produce, are they?
All of the food pantries are set up to handle it by virtue of the fact that they exist. They think they are not set up to handle it because of the way the system has worked up until now. By and large, the two pushbacks from food pantries are, we don't have refrigeration and we don't have storage. Now, they almost all have refrigeration because they do distribute things like milk and cheese and, you know, perishables. That does get distributed, but they are not really equipped to handle fresh produce. The issue really boils down to how AmpleHarvest.org is designed and how traditional food drives work. So let me take the second one first. Traditional food drive, you bring the food gets delivered at the convenience of the person or the organization that's donating the food. It gets brought to a food pantry or food bank on whatever day of the week, and you got to deal with it. So if your pantry is distributing food, for argument's sake, on Sundays, but the food shows up at the pantry on a Monday, it has to be stored for a week until it can be distributed the following Sunday. The model for AmpleHarvest.org is very different, and this is where my background as an aging geek really came in handy. It's something called just-in-time inventory. Industry uses it all the time. When Boeing is making an airplane, they arrange for the wings to be delivered just in time for them to be attached to the fuselage. They're not sitting in a warehouse while they're building the rest of the airplane. That's called just-in-time inventory. In AmpleHarvest.org, the food pantries, of course, they know the days and the hours that their clients come. They get to tell the gardeners what day or days of the week and what times to come. So if, for argument's sake, a food pantry distributes food noon to 3 on Sundays, they may say to the growers, please come from 9 to noon on a Sunday. Now, there are several impacts of that. Number one, the growers themselves now know when to harvest. They're going to harvest Sunday morning, maybe Saturday night. The food comes in Sunday morning. It sits on a table or in a box for an hour or two. The clients come in, pick it up, and they take it home. And the result is the clients are actually getting food that's fresher than you and I can buy in a supermarket. So from a food distribution system, logistics system, this is perfectly fast in and out. There's another piece of it that's, in my opinion, just as important, and there's an ethical component here. Today, it's entirely possible that the grower who is growing too much food and has food to donate has a friend or a neighbor who, unbeknownst to them, was recently laid off and is going to a food pantry to help feed their family. If they were to show up at the food pantry with the box of carrots, for argument's sake, while their friend or neighbor is there picking up their allocation of food, the friend or neighbor is going to be certainly humiliated, and you, the donor, you're going to be embarrassed. That's not necessary. By separating the donor and the recipient by a little bit of time, the donor knows the food's going to somebody in the community, but they don't know who. The recipient knows it came from somebody in the community, and they don't know who. So nobody's embarrassed and nobody's humiliated. And this is all done by simple manipulation of information. There's nothing else special about this. The internet, AmpleHarvest.org is using the internet to bridge together two existing things that exist in the community, the opportunity and the need. The other thing, by the way, is that food pantries have traditionally didn't even know the food was available in the community. That was another important thing. They didn't know that food was there. They didn't know the growers down the street would say, I'm happy to give you the excess stuff. And again, the gardeners themselves didn't know that the church or the school or whatever has a food pantry. This total disconnect left food rotting in the garden, or if you threw it away, worse, it went into the trash dump and not only added to the waste stream, but basically it released methane, which is a climate change gas. It also left people who were eating processed food at food pantries. Now, the food that you get at food pantry, processed food, the produce is typically canned. So you're getting canned fruit that's often packaged in heavy syrup. You're getting canned vegetables, often packaged with salt, either of which have long-term health consequences. By displacing some of that with locally grown fresh food, you're not only getting food in the system that they're not going to get, but you're actually having an impact on the long-term health care of the United States. And this is not me talking. About a month after AmpleHarvest.org was launched, a blogger named Sasha Abramson wrote an article in the Huffington Post, and he thought, this was again also during the summer when Obamacare was being discussed in Congress, that AmpleHarvest.org would have a significant impact on the long-term health care costs in this country.
That's so awesome.
All these little pieces come together to have a significantly bigger impact. The other piece I should point out that I'm personally, I think, is the best thing, is that people individually are empowered. Mm-hmm. By which I mean that, we all look at Bill Gates and we look at Warren Buffett and we look at all these rich people who started with nothing and made a lot of money and they're giving a lot of that money away. They call themselves philanthropists. And it's good for them that they made the money and it's good for them that they're being generous with their money and giving it away. Most people don't look at themselves as a philanthropist, and I would argue the other side of that. I would say if you went out and you bought a $2 packet of seeds and you grew a couple hundred dollars worth of tomatoes or whatever else you're growing, and you keep for what you want and you give the rest away, you are a philanthropist in much the same way as Bill Gates is. Maybe not on the same scale, but you've started, in his case, from a seed of an idea, and in your case, just from a seed. Mm-hmm. You created wealth, and actually health, by the way, mm-hmm. and you've gotten into the food pantry. The important thing is when that healthy food gets in the pantry, by the way, let me just put it this way. From my perspective, the opposite of hunger isn't full, it's healthy. Mm-hmm. If we get this fresh food into the system, we are not only feeding people, but we're actually ensuring their long-term health. And for our kids, that's particularly important. AmpleHarvest.org has taken off like crazy. I've had the privilege of being at several White House meetings and meeting the President and First Lady. And the First Lady has been very involved with Let's Move, which gets people eating better. And my last meeting at the White House this past March, I learned a horrifying statistic. Children going up today have a 1 in 3 chance of becoming diabetic, and it's quickly moving to 1 out of 2. Improving the quality of the food our kids get will have an impact on changing that number.
Yeah, it's wake-up time, and it's time to, once we got woken up, it's time to start moving right into action, and we're going to talk about that next. This is just such an exciting thing because I think there are so many people who really have a heart to help. They recognize that there are, serious issues in this country and truly in this world, but right here in our own community, with all of these things that you mentioned, the hunger, the malnourishment, the obesity, the diabetes, look at our future. I mean, where are we headed? And I think one of the things that's so exciting about this is that this is something that so many people can help with.
Yes. Absolutely.
And like you said, with like zero financial investment. I mean, okay, granted, most of us don't have any or much money, but that doesn't mean we don't have a heart to help. We do. So how can we help, Gary?
The idea behind AmpleHarvest.org is to let you reach into your backyard instead of your back pocket to help your neighbors in need. It's that simple. How do you help? The easiest thing to do is actually go to AmpleHarvest.org/local. Now, what you're going to find there is a four-step process that anybody can do in any community in America to help AmpleHarvest.org cement itself in the community. These steps include making sure that the food pantries in your community subscribe and join AmpleHarvest.org. It's totally free. They simply have to learn about it. It's making sure that the growers in the community learn about the opportunity to donate food. That's putting up flyers and helping distribute information and talking to the media. It's using your social media, your resources to talk to your friends and family around all 50 states to say that this opportunity exists. And frankly, the last step is actually to help AmpleHarvest.org further its mission. But it's the entire thing revolves around the AmpleHarvest.org website. The steps are there. Whether you choose to do it in a day, over a week, or whatever amount of time, it takes very little time. You can do whichever steps are important to you. And when you do that, you have become the agent of change in your community. And on top of that, the moment you've learned that St. Mary's Church, for argument's sake, has a food pantry and they're open on Sunday mornings and they really want the food, tell everybody. Tell all your friends, tell all your neighbors, get the word out in your community that people can donate food from their own garden directly to this food pantry. And then they themselves will presumably do that for the rest of their life. You get the awareness that while that you're doing something that Washington can't do, that frankly Scranton can't do, but that you can do. Mm-hmm. And it can be done in every community in America. AmpleHarvest.org today has more than 6,300 food pantries across America in all 50 states that are on it, and more signing up by the hour. So it's in all 50 states. The model, by the way, has gone global. We're assisting folks in other countries with setting up their own version of AmpleHarvest.org, but our work will only be in the 50 states. We have more than enough work to do here. One in five pantries belongs, which is great, but it also means four out of five have yet to learn about it and sign up. That's an important piece of what your listeners can do.
You know, I love this phrase, we are the people we've been waiting for. And this is a situation where, you know, we know that Washington is not going to come and bail us out. I mean, Washington, you know, just can't fix all the problems in this world. And even Harrisburg, you know. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We have these challenges in our community, and we are the ones who are best suited to fix them because we live here and we care. You know, we care about our neighbors. We care about our community. We care about the future of our kids and so on. So I wanted to question, though. So one of the things that you mentioned that is that there was this great disconnect, you know, that the pantries didn't know where the farms were and the farms or the gardens really, they didn't really know each other. You said the pantries weren't in the Yellow Pages and there was no Google listing. So how, as a concerned citizen who wants to help, how do I even find out where the pantries are to tell the pantries, hey, you know, do you know about this wonderful program? How do I...
This is where local knowledge reigns supreme. First of all, right off the bat, if you belong to a house of worship, there's a fairly good chance your house of worship has a food pantry. 70% of America's food pantries are in a house of worship. So step one is go to the religious leader or maybe the office of a house of worship and ask, is there a food pantry here? And if there isn't, ask if they know of a nearby house of worship that has one. Secondly, is simply asking around. You might want to call 211, which is United Way, or the social service agencies, but it's really, you're the person in the community, you're the one closest to the pantries, your friend. There's a good chance that one out of six of your friends is needing a food pantry right now. That's the statistic in America. So ask seven of your friends if they know of a food pantry. The odds are one of them, unfortunately, is using one right now.
Great.
That's one really good way to make the our connection to the food pantry. Mm-hmm. Once you do, we have flyers right on the site. You print out a flyer. You take it to the pantry. Each pantry, by the way, has to make their own determination that they wish to sign up and be a part of AmpleHarvest.org. This is an opt-in solution, by which I mean it's the pantry decides they want to be a part of it. The last thing we want is for you to show up with food and be turned away. By the way, you mentioned farms. I do want to point out something. You don't need to be a farmer. If you're growing chives or parsley or mint in your kitchen window, donate that too. You don't have to come in with a lot of food. Whatever food you have that you come in with will be pooled with the food that's been brought in by other people in the community. Some are going to come with a handful. Somebody may come with a bag or a box. Maybe someone's going to come with a truckload. How much you donate is not the important thing. That food isn't wasted is the important thing. I try to drive home the idea of no food left behind. Somebody should be eating the food. And if it's you and your family and your friends, that's fine. But if there's more than you can use, preserve, or share with friends, then you come to ampleharvest.org, find a pantry, and donate. And by the way, if there's no pantry near you today, come back another day, maybe a week or a month later, because as new pantries come up, you may find another pantry that's closer to your home than the one that's listed. The intent here is to do a wholesale change in the food system in America, not all that unlike what we did with garbage in the 70s, where we went from trashing everything to recycling a lot of stuff. There's a change in behavior. There's a change in resources. I think the country's much better off now because we recycle what we recycle. And America is better off and will continue to get even better off as we get healthier food that we already have to the people who have least access to it.
I'm speechless, Gary, and anybody who knows me knows that is extremely rare. I mean, to be quite honest, I don't even know what questions to ask you. It is just such a phenomenal program. You know, the need is huge. It's cost, you know, virtually nothing to implement. How about this? What if you go to your house of worship and they don't have a food pantry? How about initiating one? I mean, how about people starting, you know, starting food pantries so that they can contribute to someplace?
My answer to that is that's not what we do. However, under that scenario, what you should do is contact the regional food bank. Now, what you can do is you can go to Feeding America's website, put in your zip code, and the food bank that works your area will appear, and then you can contact them. And I should be clear about the terminology here. America has 203 food banks. These are large industrial warehouses that are sort of the transit point for the industrial-sized quantities of food. They, in turn, distribute the food to 33,500 food pantries. So it's the food pantry in the community that people go to. It's the food bank in the region that is sort of the central area that has the technology and the resources that people will go to if they want to set up a pantry. That's probably the smartest bet. Start with the Feeding America website. Put in your zip code. Up comes a food bank. Contact that food bank. You want to ask for the agency relations manager. That's the title of the person. You say, my community doesn't have a food pantry. I'd like to learn how to set one up. Can you help me? And that would be the go-to there. What we do is stick to a very narrow focus of being this digital bridge between the opportunity and the need. Mm-hmm. There are lots of other people doing amazing things all around us, and we partner with them, but we don't go into other organizations' space. That's called mission creep. We're not going to go anywhere near that. We have an awful lot of work to do just connecting the food in the community, and that can, by the way, be farmer food also, but food in the community to the need in the community. Our biggest challenge right now is really just running this tiny organization that runs this very, very big program. I mean, it's one of the really interesting challenges. We move information instead of moving food. So a lot of the foundations say that we love what you're doing, but we've never seen quite like it, so we can't help you keep it up. That's our balancing act. Mm-hmm. But we still stick within this narrow focus of doing what we're doing really well. And again, the First Lady has written and spoken about our work. I've met with the governor of Connecticut. The USDA is a huge proponent of this work. We work with all of the food banks in the United States. The National Council of Churches has endorsed us. We have a very long list of organizations that say this is a great thing. Google has been an amazing partner, nearly $500,000 a year of free advertising from Google. I mean, Google is just wonderful for us.
I think it's interesting that you've actually named the initiative, you know, the program. It's actually named ampleharvest.org. It's not named Ample Harvest.
No, there's a reason for that. I wanted people to recognize that when they saw the name, it not only described what it was doing, but it told you immediately where to go to do it.
It's brilliant. It's just absolutely brilliant, Gary.
Thank you. Thank you. And there are other programs we're looking to roll out. We're looking for funding for those things, but there are things that are there's one project that I have lined up that when we get the resources in place will be ampleharvest.org on steroids in terms of its impact on the American food system. There are other pieces that will be added to ampleharvest.org. We're going to be adding a piece that's going to help the growers tell the food pantry what it is they actually donated. This is rhubarb. It's not red celery, for example. We've already started translating our literature into Spanish for the Hispanic members of our communities. We do have an iPhone and an Android app, and I should say that's important. Growers don't grow all year long, obviously. So what's going to happen is you may be in the wintertime, the supermarket has something on sale. You may want to help your pantry, and this can help you find a pantry that needs it. And actually, I should tell you something else. We have a program that we launch every October. This will be our third year, called Centerpieces for Pantries. As we go into the holiday season, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and even other events like weddings, bar mitzvahs, and what have you, and people plan to do these nice dinners with floral arrangements on their tables, we're telling people, skip the flowers. Put out arrangements of whole fruits and vegetables. Let them grace your table one day and then feed another family the next. You can take the centerpieces of whole vegetables and fruit from your table. When you're done with your event the next day, you take that to a food pantry, so that the flowers, which would have wilted, given someone hay fever or blocked a view, are replaced with food that you either grew or food that you bought, and you can donate it. You can learn about that at ampleharvest.org/holiday.
That is just awesome. I'm such a huge proponent, and Sunnywald Natural Foods is such a huge proponent of sustainability. You know, we're always talking about, you know, plant plants that, sure, look lovely, but also feed you, you know? So, yeah, why not create, you know, a centerpiece that will also feed somebody? Gary, we have just a minute left. Tell us quickly, what's up with your new blog?
We were 4 years behind on creating a blog, mostly because I had come to the realization it was more important to build and grow ampleharvest.org than to write about it. So we just launched our blog on the ampleharvest.org website, and the title of the first entry is an apology. It's an apology to everybody that I didn't start writing about all of the amazing things that have been going on with and about ampleharvest.org in the past 4 years. We will be writing on it regularly. We'll be soliciting people who want to write and post blog entries on ampleharvest.org's blog. We'd love to have that. We've got two people who are brilliant writers who are for social media. We're going to be soliciting other stuff. This is going to be where you can come to learn about what's going on ampleharvest.org, or you can go to our Facebook page, and we have lots of material up in there, too. But really, the heart of ampleharvest.org is ultimately the website, and then the heart of ampleharvest.org becomes you, the gardener, donating excess food from your backyard garden to the local food pantry. In 2010, I was named CNN Hero, and it was quite an honor. But I will tell you that I told the producers that my real goal was to make each of the 40 million growers across America a hero in their own community. We have the ability to do it, and all it takes is an ample harvest and a heart.
There is no doubt in my mind that God, you know, gave you the idea. There's no doubt in my mind that he's guiding you and directing you. This is a phenomenal thing. I love what you said on your new blog. To do the impossible, you must believe it isn't.
Yeah. It's been a driving force for me for many, many years. And for people who think they can't make a difference in their own community, all they need to do is plant a garden. They will make a difference in their own lives and in the lives of the people around them.
Gary, it's been absolutely a thrill and an honor. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We are so blessed to have the opportunity to bring you a show we know will enrich you, your family, and our community. We hope you'll find value in it and that you'll make Sundays with Sunnywald a healthy habit. Be sure to check out www.sonnewald.org for details about upcoming programs and events happening at Sunnywald and in the community, as well as past installments of this program. If you don't use a computer, find out more by calling the Weatherline at 717-767-1000. Please join me next week for another edition of Sleek for another edition.